and welcome to my podcast, Pure Happy Healthy. Today I have a wonderful guest here with me. It's Marieke Warmeling, and I will introduce her real quick. Marieke is an artist and filmmaker from the Netherlands. She is mostly focused on engaged film performances, interventions, and painting. Next to her own career, she also taught on various universities around the world. At the moment, she lives on Bali with her partner and little son, and is courageously working on women's rights in her artworks, but also with the platform Women with a Voice, which she founded herself. We will go a bit more into detail after a while, but first of all, I want to ask you if there is any important information I have been missing in that quite short introduction.
No, thank you very much. It's a beautiful introduction.
I want to start with a simple question. What are you grateful for today?
That's another really beautiful question and puts pressure on my answer. I think the first thing that springs to my mind is really to be here at this moment in Bali. I've had a lot of adversity and troubles, although everyone always thinks that Bali is a paradise and, you know, you can't complain. But I think the adversities has driven me deeper into my mission, and I have been able to see and meet amazing people and see pioneers in many businesses and schools and, yeah, living concepts that are different from what I see or what I have seen at home. And that opportunity has given me a deeper understanding of possibilities to the future. Seeing that inspired me to set up and strive for a better future for others, and realize my inspiration, my creativity, my ideas into my own life.
Oh, wow. There's already so many questions I want to ask now. You were saying that it brought you closer to your mission. Would you define real quick what your mission at the moment is?
To make women visible through art and to close the gender gap internationally.
Is that also the goals of your founded platform, Women with a Voice?
Yeah, that's completely in line with the platform. Yeah, absolutely.
Would you tell us a bit more about the platform? How does it work? How did you get the idea to found this platform? And where do you actually put your focus on in your work there?
So the idea came from a commission that I got. I'm also a painter, and I was asked to make a painting of a mother of a friend of mine that I knew through university. His mother is from Suriname, and I made this beautiful painting for him. He was very happy with it, and I also asked him, like, hey, I'd really like to know more about her life and what has she done. He wrote me a short message about her life. She was a writer and she was an author about also about racism and fighting for the rights of equality rising her voice in awareness for equality. And I thought that was so remarkable, and I thought, wow, this is just an ordinary woman. This is just someone's mother. There must be so many mothers and people and women like this who don't get seen or don't get recognition for who they are, for what they've done. So this kind of sparked the idea of starting a project to paint 179 women across the world, which I'm still painting on. And this is a project that's not finished in a couple of months. And actually, by working on this project, I managed to get the image of this painting of this lady into an exhibition of the United Nations during a peace proposal, a celebration in Geneva. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. I've managed to, within three months, I've managed to basically get this woman seen for a really in a really large audience with people who care for humanity and who reach out to help other women. And I was like, this is just, the effect is so immediate, so fast, and it's just done through one simple act. So I thought, wow, this is just, yeah, this is just a spark for inspiration. I can do so much more with what I'm doing already. So I kind of thought of the platform Women with a Voice, and I collected all the activities I'm already doing into a whole. So that means that not only my paintings, but also the presentations I'm giving, the speeches, the education system, the films that I make now all have the same goal. And that's to make women visible and to share their stories and raise gender awareness, raise knowledge and insights about gender stigmas, and actually come with practical solutions so we can change daily life.
Wow, congratulations first for your so big success with the United Nations. That's super, super beautiful that it got so much recognition, and that's so important. I think that, yeah, it also gets seen and the focus gets put there so more people can actually create awareness about it. If I understood it right, you want to paint one woman of each country. And how many women have you painted yet? And how is it possible if I want to get an image of a woman? How do I apply, basically?
Yeah, so I've set up a fundraiser campaign on GoFundMe, so people can actually donate money. You can donate and contribute to this project. So you don't actually, you can just donate. But I really like to give back to whoever donates, and I would like to give back the painting. So you get to keep the painting. This can be your mother, your aunt, your whoever you feel is important in your life. Can also be a very inspiring woman, or you can say, okay, I really find this woman in Chile, or who else, you know, somewhere in the world, I find this woman very inspiring, can you make a portrait, I want to give that as a present, something like this. Or you can let me choose, and I, you know, there are so many inspiring women I love to paint, so there is basically no end to it. So yeah, in the GoFundMe campaign you can then choose a size and donate the money, and within a week I can make an art piece, sometimes a little bit longer. I make it on acrylics and I send the painting to you. You get it on your personal address or wherever you want it to be sent to across the world, no problem. I've done this many times, and I basically keep the photo of the artwork, because I use that photo for a publicity. So like, for example, with the other lady who is exhibited in the United Nations, I'm gonna document all these paintings, and together they're gonna form a book with the stories of these women, and that's gonna be published. And of course, if I can use it for any other exhibitions or publications or interviews, I will use it as much as I can to bring forth the voice of women. I have only just started with this project, so I am now on the fourth painting. So it would be really great to get more visibility of this project, and it gets more seen, and it's going to be Christmas soon. So I'm sure lots of people want to, surprise their special woman in their lives. So this can be a good starting point.
That is such a super beautiful idea. So you've heard it. If you want to get in touch, I will link her website on the show notes, and there you can get in touch for getting your own painting as well. Besides all these paintings and the platform you're running with the donations, you're also highly involved in the film and into interactive performances. Would you like to tell a bit more about that?
Yeah, so making portraits of women, that's also what I do in different media. So I use film and performance, and often I place myself as a performer in the making of the film. When I was little, I wanted to be a clown, and I think, yeah, this is the result of that wish. I find that if I put myself in a position of well, the fool or the clown or the funny person, even though I'm not trying to be funny at all. I'm mostly being silent in the films that I play in. But I find that by actually, making that first step, it opens something up from the person who I want to make a portrait of, because they somehow they need to laugh and they feel comfortable. They feel that I'm not looking down on them. I'm not making fun of them. I'm putting myself in there basically. And because of that experience, people really open up. So I have made a performance method of this, which I also teach. And through a lot of kind of performative exercises, you can learn yourself how to become comfortable putting yourself into public space or interferences, as I call them, and directly have contact with people and film that in the process. So I've made short films of women in Bali. I do this in more places in the world. I find it a really great way of finding out more about their daily lives. So I basically choose a person and approach this lady, either with help of a translator or someone who I know is local. And I ask if I can be the husband of this lady. And the idea is that if I'm a husband, which of course they find very funny because they don't quite understand it, and I'm a woman and I'm playing a man, and how does that work? Kind of, brings up an element of play and fun, which I really appreciate. It makes the film also way more interesting. By doing this, I basically just help them during a day of their daily activities. It can be, for example, a lady who works at a market. And as I help her for that day, she can basically tell me whatever she wants me to do. Yeah, I go and help her and that gets filmed. So I follow her daily activities. And we have a conversation during the activities. And of course, I'm trying to figure out what's her idea on women, what's her idea on men, what's her idea on relationships, how does she see herself, does she have any wishes, does she have any needs, and how does she generally feel, to get a better understanding of her position. And then, in the end, I work with a team, an editor, to make a film of this. And for so far I've made two films in Bali, and I've made two films in India, and then we use the films for presentations for local communities to raise awareness about the position of women. Other women can identify with the women they see on the screen, and we also use the films for international dialogue and movie meetups, so people can actually see themselves through the eyes of the other. Sometimes you think that there is no problem in the country where you come from. For example, if you come from Europe, people think that their countries are really advanced, but little they know about the facts of gender equality, that there's still a huge gap that needs to be filled. And sometimes if we see a film of another person, we can identify better with our own position and learn that we might have critique or ideas on other countries, but our own country is not much better, and there is still a lot of work to do within our own daily lives.
Such a good idea. I've also seen one of your movies, so I can really prove the point that you start to think about it. How is it in my life, and how is it maybe still a problem also in our developed countries? How we are basically, women all around the world are still in similar positions. So that is a really interesting insight you're giving there. How many films in how many countries have you done with the husband work?
So these processes are very slow. So basically I've made two films in India, and then I got invited to Bali and I've made two films in Bali. My next film will be in Japan, but along the way I got a child myself, and I'm really in Bali and setting up all these activities and networks and platforms. So of course, also I need to raise money for following films. So my idea is that I have a whole life to make films of women across the world. in the meantime, already the material that I have is enough to fill in a night's activities and presentations. So I already have a lot of material from to work with. But yeah, my wish is to make films from a lot of different perspectives in the world.
Are you still in contact with the woman you were the husband of, or were you still in contact after making the film? And do you maybe know anything of if it changed something in their life or in the perspective of how they saw their lives?
Yeah, I thought about this because my intention is not so much to change or give herself an insight or critique her position. I think that the message is really for the viewers of the film. I am still in contact with her, and she was extremely hard to help. So I don't think anything has changed in her, because it was really hard for her to receive help from someone else, and I think that's her character. She was the kind of the messenger, and she symbolized something in my film that's gonna reach other people, used as a spark to inspire. I still see her at the market. She still works there, as she's been working there since 1970. My boyfriend has been eating food at her market for the last 10 years and will probably do so in the future. So we are very good touch with her. She's almost like a family member. And this is very beautiful. The bond that you get from making such a film kind of lasts forever.
We've been talking a lot now about your work in terms of women's rights, as this is really the focus of basically all of your work. Where does that interest come from? Did you choose to work about it, or was there something, a personal story behind it that really led you to it? Or
I was always socially engaged, so I was always looking for answers maybe that I didn't find in my upbringing or childhood. So I threw myself into life trying to experience something different that I knew, looking for a new logic, for new systems, for new truth. And I'm very thankful that art has always brought me that the answers and the experiences and the friends that I've gained over the years. Like since 2016, I was invited in India to make a project specifically with women, and that's when I realized, hey, this really resonates with me. From that project, I was invited to come and make a project in Bali, and again it was about the position of women. So naturally I was drawn more specifically in this theme, and which is very welcome. I mean, things happen unconsciously. I feel that in my life as a child or young adolescent, I was not told, nor by my mom or by my dad, how to voice my wishes, how to express my emotions. And I think a lot of people struggle with this through the generations of their families, where women were told to carry the load, not complain, and just keep going and be happy with the position that you're in. And fathers often weren't there to support the child because they were working or had a very sort of strict rules. And I think although everyone survived, there is still this difficulty for women to voice and to feel that they can allow a better position for themselves. So from this kind of lower self-esteem often follows a lot of social assumptions. So for example, in relationships, if you as a woman or a young girl feel that you need to please someone because you gain love, if you say the right thing instead of if you actually voice what you were feeling from the inside, I think a lot of sexual abuse can also be prevented. I think a lot of girls go over their natural boundaries without knowing, because they've been taught that pleasing another is a way of earning love. So being a victim of sexual abuse myself, I think that this also is linked with the fact that I could not voice myself and never was told to do this. And yeah, if I can contribute to autonomous thinking, to self-expression for a younger generation, which I do through my education projects. I feel that I have, completed a circle to help others with something that I didn't have, I missed, but also I didn't know I could actually benefit from.
Thank you so much for your honesty here, and I think it's super amazing from you that you come out with this experience and speak about it and try to help others and turn it into a positive way of dealing with it instead of just dealing with yourself and getting maybe stuck. So I really hope that this now inspires a lot of other women all around the world to also raise up their voice and be strong about it. Thank you again. This is really beautiful that you shared this here. Would you see yourself as a feminist then?
Yeah, the feminism is such a loaded word. I'm definitely a feminist, but the connotations with feminism unfortunately have been negative. Feminism is often seen or kind of as if you're always the kind of angry fighter. And I believe in a much more subtle way of feminism where, you don't fight, because fighting also on a relationship basis actually has the opposite effect. I believe in taking action, finding for solutions yourself, and actually including men in conversations and decision making, because they have a lot to say and a lot of feelings as well, and help them with that. For example, if you look up the he/she campaign, it's all about this. It's all about including men in the conversation and dialogue about equality. So it's not only for women. It's equality for men and women, because also men want to be part of their children's future. They want to, if they have children, they want to be part of the family. They don't want to work 9 to 5 every day of their life, you know. So men are also looking for a different design of life. I think we all have the same wish, but we haven't been told how to do this, and we have to break a lot of old patterns in and constructions in society, such as workplace. So we have to go in dialogue with our bosses, and we have to change on many different levels.
That leads me actually to my next question. How would the ideal world look for you?
The ideal world where women don't have to fight for freedom, which is taken away from them in the beginning, but where there is an equal understanding of rights and taken from there. So it's more about the value, that the value of equality, of course, not only for women and men, but also in, you know, in nationalities, in backgrounds, in skin colors, all discrimination, that there is, my ideal world is a world without discrimination on any level, and where people can feel free and have the power to say and feel and have the awareness to see deeper than their eyes.
I absolutely agree with you. That would be such a wonderful place, a paradise where everyone was just equal but still unique in their own ways and special, obviously, but treated equally and have with the same starting position, maybe, as same rights. But it's so important that you do that work, and also that's part of my idea for this podcast, that we raise up our voices and to really put the finger where there's still work to be done and talk about these topics and create awareness. And thank you again at this point for being my interview guest today and talk about all these things. That's really amazing. When we were talking earlier, you mentioned the Bali washing machine. Would you like to explain to the audience what exactly that means and in which way Bali causes struggles for you?
Yeah, Bali is a place which is a highly spiritual melting pot. You can find a lot about ley lines and all that stuff. I'm not super into that, but I do know from experience that whatever you think or wish or mean to do here is really going to come out. So all the shit, all the stuff you don't need is going to come out. You're going to have to fight through it. and transform it into something, and then it really opens up horizons. For me, this took, 3 years with intervals of good and bad times. And of course, when I just arrived, I had to understand the power of nature through volcano eruptions, and we had the big earthquake in Lombok, which of course is only about less than 100 kilometers away from us, and we had aftershocks for a month. Here nothing happened, but to deal with the fear of death, because that's what happens if you're not used to it, is enormous. So yeah, I think by facing the fear of death and having to go through that, that's kind of quite a deep one to throw yourself into, and especially with a young child at that time, he was 6 months. All the new things, animals, heat, all the, oh my God, there's just so much stuff that it's different here. And that brought up a lot of things also in my relationship, also my own fight with my position in my relationship. But yes, after 3 years, I've changed a lot. I'm a lot healthier. Looked at a lot of patterns, and I can say that now I really see the light. So if anyone else is experiencing a similar thing, if they come to Bali, or if they want to experience a similar thing, because Bali is definitely the country where people want to go for transformation, I can highly recommend it, because you're kind of done for a while. If you're here and you go through that and you can really embrace it, then it does bring you to a deeper understanding of yourself and your mission, because it throws away anything you don't need, any distraction. And I can highly recommend some downtime to understand your own emotions and wishes.
You were just talking about manifestation. I'm not sure everyone is familiar with that term. Would you just give a brief introduction about manifestation, maybe? And what is something that you have lately manifested in your life?
Hmm. Yeah, that's a really interesting one. Because as a side job, I am a healer and a coach, spiritual healer. I get a lot of questions every day from people who struggle, for example, with relationships. They continuously come into the same patterns and they wonder, or they want advice. So because I do so many consultations in a week or in a month, I see the patterns behind this. And there is always unresolved history, mostly to do with family patterns, which mean that you can, on an energetic level, so the energy that you bring out because you haven't sort of a certain conviction through your heart, through your body of what you've experienced as a child, you send it out energetically to other people. And therefore, you always come in the same patterns unless you have an awareness of your pattern and you can change an emotion and a feeling that's connecting to this pattern. Say it's loss or loneliness or abandoncy. If you understand the emotion that you have and give that space, you actually give space to allow yourself to receive more. So if you allow yourself to receive positive benefits in your life because your self-worth changes, because you learn to voice out your feelings, you start to attract and manifest a different outcome in your life. So I know a lot of people might know the concept of positive thinking, but I want to add that positive thinking alone does not change. It really has to do with an internal transformation. Your life will not manifest in the way that you want or hope if you do not have an internal transformation. So I also do coaching on this level because it all ties in with women and voicing out their needs and wishes. They can only do that if they learn to voice themselves better and learn to embrace that what they have missed in their childhood, because they have not been given the support that they needed as a child.
I feel like we could make an own podcast about this topic. But you just said you give coaching, so I will also link that in the show notes. And if you're interested in having a one-on-one, or do you also do group coachings or just one-on-one?
I would start one-on-one, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so if you want to have a one-on-one coaching and find out more about this already right now, before we maybe in the future have another podcast about the manifestation, then yeah, you can find all the information about that in the show notes. So in the end, I always have two questions for my interview guests. The first of it is, what does a pure, happy and healthy life mean for you?
I think a pure, happy, healthy life does not come without struggles, because you have to see it like two sides of a coin. You know, you can only enjoy and feel beauty and love and abundance if you also know the other side of the coin. If you can share pain from other people, if you can help suffering, if you can if you're not scared to see darkness. And I think a lot of people run away from darkness or fear and just get distracted by all sorts of habits, drinking, social disruptions, sports, I don't know, extreme sports, all these things, to kind of not feel their inner need of connection and face fears. And then, because that actually allows you to connect with life on that deeper level. That's why I believe, you know, the projects that I do and making connection with local people and discovering things that you haven't seen before, and to feel other people's pain and see how you can contribute to that. I think that gives a level of fulfillment. So, happiness is about fulfillment, fulfilling your own life and that of others together.
And my last question is, was there any podcast, movie or book that really was a game changer for you, that inspired you highly?
I saw an amazing film called Girls Rising. It's a documentary, but a documentary film. I've never seen anything that's so beautifully filmed and at the same time so inspirational and poetic. Yeah, I was highly, highly impressed by this film. I'm sure you can find lots of information on it online. Girls Rising. It's all about education for girls and how this changes the world. And after this, you just want to pump all your money into education for girls. It's amazing. But also on an artistic level, I think it's really, really well done. Like the way it's filmed, the voiceover, the music, the images. It's just such a beautiful portrait of women across the world. When I saw that, I was like, wow. I'm still very small, let's say that, you know, compared to what amazing stuff other people have done in the world. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much for this advice. I will also add it to the show notes and then highly recommend watching it and watch it myself, because I don't know it yet either. And thank you so, so much again for your time and all the worthy information you gave and that beautiful interview here. I can just highly recommend getting in touch with her. She's an amazing and stunning person and does so many interesting things. I would love to keep this interview going for another hour. So if you want to do the coaching or get the portrait of her, you will all find it on her website. I will link it. And I hope you really liked it. Leave me comments and likes and maybe critiques or something you would like to hear more about. And I hope you tune in for the next interview. And until then, I'm sending you much love. Bye.